Hello, and welcome to another IDRS podcast. I'm Terry Ewell, and in this special series of podcasts, we will be hearing an interview with Bernard Garfield, former principal bassoonist with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and an International Double Reed Society honorary member. In part two, Mr. Garfield discusses his performances of the Mozart Bassoon Concerto and the Weber Andante in Hungarian Rondo. In addition, he presents his insights on rapid articulation on the bassoon. Many of the people who will be hearing this podcast fondly remember your solo recordings with the Philadelphia Orchestra. I'm thinking in particular, certainly, of the Mozart Concerto, one I heard over and over and over again in my student days, and the Weber Concerto. The Andante in Hungarian Rondo.
Right.
What were the circumstances that led to these recordings in the early 60s?
Well, the concerto was one that the Columbia wanted to do of the wind solos. So you have the flute and harp, the clarinet, concerto of Mozart, and the horn concerto and a bassoon concerto. As to the Weber Hungarian Rondo, why, that was part of a series of records in which the proceeds would go to the pension fund. So the soloist and the conductor and the members of the orchestra all contributed their time to make these records. And I remember the Weber very well because Ormandy and everybody didn't want to spend any extra time. They would like to do it and go home. And when it came to the Weber, we played it through once, and there were a few things that Ormandy wanted to correct in the orchestra, and there was a couple of passages that I wanted to review myself. And so, in effect, I played through it twice, and that was it.
Oh, my.
And so it took a half an hour or 25 minutes to record that piece, and it apparently went pretty well. But one thing about the Mozart concerto, the Mozart and the Haydn concertants, and the Weber, they were all done with one reed. And there's a bit of a story to that because I joined the orchestra in 57, and in 59 there was a fine Italian bassoonist named Enzo Muccetti. I don't know if you know his name. He used to be principal bassoonist with the La Scala. He sent me 10 pieces of cane as a gift. I mean, I was so happy to receive it. And from the 10 pieces, one piece produced an exquisite reed. I mean, this is the kind of reed you look at it in place. I mean, it had such a, I mean, you just couldn't fail with it because it played with the ideal sound that I wanted for the bassoon. So I did the Mozart on it, the concerto, and then a couple of years later he wanted to do the Weber, and I used it for the Weber, and then he did the two concertants. And I would save that reed, I would dry it, and I'd put it in a tissue in a box and mark on it concerto reed. Of course, you know, in reed making, I'm sure you're the same. For every 10 reeds you make, one has a certain quality and another has a different quality. And
right.
Before finishing them, I would put a C on it for possible concerto use and H for a high note use. And so that when something was going to arise that required a special reed, I had a source to go to. But this one reed from Muccetti, rather a piece of cane, was such a wonderful piece of cane. I looked for that kind of cane all my life, and I guess that accounts for why from every 100 reeds that you may make in a period of a year or 2 years, there's just a handful that you will use.
Right.
It's searching for that piece of cane that does what you want it to do.
Here then is a demonstration of Garfield's special reed. This is a portion of the second movement of Mozart's Bassoon Concerto K191, recorded by Bernard Garfield and the Philadelphia Orchestra under the direction of Eugene Ormandy. This vinyl recording is titled Mozart, the Four Concertos for Woodwinds and Orchestra, Volume 1, Columbia Records, MS6451, recorded in 1963. Thank you. you normally number your cane or number your reeds or keep track of them, or is it just the H and the C for high note and concerto?
Oh, it's just, I had about four letters to describe what I expected, a high note reed, a low note reed, a all-purpose reed, and a concerto reed. I would label them for potential. They wouldn't be finished. They would just have the kind of sound that I thought, or the strength of the cane that I thought would do what I hoped it would do when it was time to use it.
So you judged their potential when you put it on the instrument and started playing it. You made that determination, right?
Yes, it's not finished. It's just it's blowing right. a little bit so that you can hear and feel the quality of the vibration, and then I would put it away, because unless I needed it immediately. But I usually, with the way I handle my reeds, is I looked to the next season to see the kind of pieces they were going to play and what I might need, and over the years I would accumulate different boxes with different reeds and these potentials. And I would take one and start to work on it, hoping that it would develop for the purpose that I wanted it.
How long would that break-in period be? So you've identified the potential, and then let's say you have Bolero coming up in a month. Would you start working on the reed at that time, or would you wait 2 weeks before the concert?
I'm sure I had the reed already.
Uh-huh.
I have ongoing reeds that I'm using. And at any given moment, I usually have what I need. So, if it's going to be a concerto, I am looking for months for just the right reed, and not using it in anything else. Just trying it a little bit in my studio, just deciding whether it needed a touch up here, and I would scrape it there or file it or whatever, and put it away.
Yeah, there is, you may remember this a long time ago, you wrote an article for the Woodwind World called The Bassoonist Nightmare.
Yeah.
And in it you talked about a tonguing technique where you didn't use the full double tongue for Beethoven 4th, but you used a ta-ka-ta-ta.
A mixed tonguing
or multiple tonguing. I'm just wondering how you came about that discovery. It's been something I've used for many years, and I've been very thankful that you made that available.
Oh, thank you. Well, in 1942, just before going into the service, I played at Tanglewood, and there I did a few weeks of studying with Raymond Allard. And one of the passages that came up in the concerts, because in 1942 we had gasoline rationing, so there was no Boston Symphony at Tanglewood, but rather the Advanced Student Orchestra, conducted by Koussevitzky, did the concerts. And one of the pieces that I had to play is the Leonora 3.
Uh-huh.
And that passage, Raymond Allard said, instead of doing it all tonguing, do it with this articulation. Ta 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 ka ta 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 ka ta ta ta.
Ah, okay.
So it was like two slurs, and the rest of it, two slurs, like ta ka ta 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 ka ta ta ta.
Right.
Without the pickup. And what I discovered about doing it that way, as opposed to single tonguing, was that it put the natural accent in the right place.
Right.
Whereas if you do it all staccato, very often it can sound like a stop on the computer.
Right.
No,
right.
You don't have any lilt to it. And the mixed articulation, provided the tempo didn't get up to 160, at 160, of course, you've got to do it all double, because that articulation was already the tempo is too fast for the mixed articulation. But most of the tempos that involve that kind of passage seem to be around 144 or 152, not quite to the old double-tonguing 160.
Right, right.
And in the Beethoven 4th passage, if you go, if just playing that note of each 4/16 is not a note that should be da 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 da. You don't really want to make that note pronounced. It it sounded better.
Right, right.
And you have a string of six singles there, because around the grace note, it, I found it works better, and you get a better clarity to it by having all double in that one section. Anyhow, it was a good solution, and he emphasized it, and he taught it to me and told me I have to speak it a great deal until you get that combination in your technique.
Excellent.
In your mouth, yeah.
We close this podcast with a portion of the third movement of Mozart's Bassoon Concerto, performed by Bernard Garfield and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Well, this podcast was started with the opening of Garfield's Quartet No. 1 for bassoon, violin, viola, and violoncello, composed in 1950. It's on the CD entitled Music of Bernard H. Garfield, performed by John Closier bassoon, Ellen DePasquale violin, Stanley Konopka viola, Richard Weiss violoncello. It's on Azica Records, ACD 71254, released in 2010. I performed the excerpts from Beethoven's Leonore III and the fourth movement of his Fourth Symphony. Thank you. Bye.